Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Do you think the news industry is falling short when it comes to policy issues and other complex stories? We've been hearing complaints about soundbite journalism for decades, and now the concern is about too much opinion, fake controversies, and outright lies packaged as news. But is that new? Is it news itself? Thomas Patterson is the Bradley Professor of Government and the Press at Harvard University. He says this is a threat to democracy in his new book, Informing the News, The Need for Knowledge-Based Journalism. Welcome to The Source.
David, thank you.
So, Professor Patterson, what is knowledge-based journalism?
Well, it's the idea that journalists need to be better informed about their subject areas to provide us the type of news that we need to make clear decisions about what we face as a people. It's not a new argument. Walter Lippmann made it a century ago in his classic book, The Public Opinion. But I think there's an urgency to it today. And part of it is that, you know, journalists are very dependent on their sources. That's where they get most of their information. And yet in politics, we're seeing more spin than ever before. The hand of public relations is all over the place in the news, and then we're dealing with policy problems that are increasingly complex, and I think healthcare is but the latest example.
So you say there's an urgency. Why is there an urgency?
Well, if you look at the, you know, there's been a big change in the media system. You know, 30 years ago, you know, we had only a few sources of information, and now we have you know, we have dozens and dozens, and we can kind of pick and choose where we get our information and the credibility that we attach to it. But so many of these sources are not credible. They don't provide us relevant or trustworthy information about public affairs. You know, and the easiest one to point the finger at is some of the partisan talk show hosts. But, you know, there are lots of sources out there competing for our attention. And I think in this mix that we have, and it is a rich mix, there's some very good sources as well as some not-so-good sources. But in that mix, we need some place where we can go on a regular basis and count on getting trustworthy and relevant news. And my argument is that we're not getting enough of it from the traditional media, even though that's the place where most people look to get the information.
And so you talk about this transactional approach that we have to news, where you have reporters or journalists, and we'll get into what's what in a second, a reporter versus a journalist, but they have to go to a source and the source has to give them access. And it used to be if you were a reporter and you were part of the big three networks, then you also had something to offer. You had access to the airwaves. Now these sources can find many ways to get access to public, so they don't need reporters as much as they been in the past.
Well, that's true, and but they do like the megaphone that you know, that the traditional media provide. I mean, that's still where most of the audience is, but you know, journalists to some degree, and it's not in every instance, but often, they've kind of given up the role of being the person who kind of cuts through what's being said and giving us an accurate account. And I think, you know, the clearest example of that is climate change. Over the last decade, and the studies show this pretty plainly, we've gotten almost as much commentary that's in line with the scientific consensus as we have commentary that basically says that climate change isn't happening, or if it is, that it's not due to human activity, or it's a trivial concern. And now we're getting we're getting that same kind of coverage in the economics of climate change, where the left is saying that you know, green jobs will lead us out of the recession. There's no economic studies to show that to be the case. And then from the right, we're getting arguments that you know, attempts to deal with through a carbon tax or a cap and trade will wreck the economy. And there's no economic studies that show that either. But those are the two stories we tend to get when journalists turn their attention to climate change. They're relying on their sources. They're not relying on kind of solid evidence as to what's out there.
So according to being a knowledge-based reporter or journalist, then should they be a climatologist to report on climate change?
Well, I don't think we have to go that far, but I think they have to be able to deal with their sources from strength. You know, journalism is a very unusual profession. If you think about physicians, you know, what makes a physician and what gives you confidence in your doctor? Well, their judgments are rooted in medical science. When you go to a lawyer, their judgments are rooted in the law. Economists, who increasingly guide many of the decisions of government, you know, they're trained and schooled in macroeconomic theory, microeconomic theory. Journalists don't have an equivalent body of knowledge from which to operate. And
But the doctors have to be certified, and lawyers have to pass the bar and be in members of good standing in the bar, and economists have to have a brown suit. So it's not the same.
Well, it isn't the same, but still, you want journalists to be able to deal not only with their sources but also experts from a position of strength. If they know something about the subject area that they're covering, if they have an understanding of it, then they can spot the weak spots in what a source is telling them, and they also can ask the questions that kind of develop that area a bit more. If they don't have that information, if they're not armed with some understanding of the subject area that they're covering, then they're really vulnerable to their sources. And again, I think increasingly what's happened in our politics, particularly, it's become a politics of spin. And you can say that also about the markets. I mean, if you look at the economic coverage of the markets, a lot of that coverage simply isn't informing us as consumers in a way that can guide our judgment when we make our economic choices.
You mean the markets? What do you mean, like the stock markets?
Well, the stock markets are a good example, or just about the economy generally. About half the coverage of business is of two sectors. One is the tech sector, which is, spectacular and interesting because it's spectacular, and the other is the financial sector. Now, one reason we get so much coverage of the tech sector and the financial sector is a lot of the muscle in those sectors is located in New York, and that's where our business reporters are concentrated. But they're only 10% of the economy. How about the other 90%? Who's covering that? And you look and ask yourself, where do most jobs in the American economy come from? They come from small business. About two-thirds of our jobs come out of small business. You're hard-pressed to identify or name journalists who understand small business very well. And if a journalist doesn't understand an area and they're in the newsroom and people are talking about story possibilities, then that area doesn't even come up for discussion as a possibility for reporting. So, I think an understanding of the area that you're covering is essential to the practice of good journalism.
Yeah, the thing about markets, we've got a similar problem with the local journalism and covering the tubing economy of South Texas, where every summer they're so concerned about whether or not they'll be able to plenty of people to go tubing, rafting down the Guadalupe in order, just so we can get video on the screen of girls cavorting in the water. And it has nothing to do with the local economy, but we give it so much time and importance. There's a lot of factors in play in deciding what you're going to fill a newspaper or a newscast with. But we're going to continue this conversation. I'm talking with Thomas Patterson. He is an expert on the press. He's got a great book out called Informing the News. If you've got a question, a comment about what's happening to news coverage, if you think it's going downhill, if you think we're in a golden age right now, call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And this is The Source on KSTX, and we will be right back. Listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Many issues that we have in the news today, issues like climate change or what to do with the economy, requires a lot of expert knowledge. And you have to figure out who is telling the truth or who's trying to spin it one way or the other. And we hope that the reporter has an idea of what he's writing about. And that's what Professor Thomas Patterson is writing about in his book, Informing the News, The Need for Knowledge-Based Journalism. We invite you to join the conversation. Do you think there's too much spin and biased reporting, opinion, and false controversies? The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You know, false controversies. Like the past few days, it seems like America has been concerned about what skin color Santa Claus has, a false controversy that means nothing. Why is that taking hold of journalism and seems to be, all over the media?
Well, I think journalists and journalism generally are in a pretty tough spot at the moment. There's a lot of competition for people's attention, and I think journalism has moved in a competitive direction. I think that's one of the problems that we face with our journalism today. I mean, if you look at infotainment, all the coverage that's given to celebrity, to these small controversies, they're taking time and space away from kind of central issues of governing. Now, I think they have to be in the mix. The question is how large they are. And then when you get to the news, I think the question there is how good is it? How accurate is it? How relevant is it to the kind of questions and problems that we face as a people? And, there's an accumulation of studies that show that journalism isn't quite at the level that it needs to be for a flourishing democracy.
A listener writes in through the email, many shows reduce issues down to two sides, then they're presented as balanced or comprehensive. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Seems to be the depth of analysis. So how do we get more nuanced stories out of these journalists when, they're given 12 inches of copy or a minute to tell a story?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why we get James Fellows calls false equivalencies. That protects the journalist. That keeps their access to their sources. And, we saw that around the death panels controversy in the 2009-2000 debate over the Health Care Reform Act. There never was anything in the Health Care Reform Act. There were no commissions that would decide as the elderly got toward the end of their life whether they would be eligible to receive more medical care. But, that controversy took over. It was played two-sided. It was a great story. So, it sold papers and brought people to their television sets. But there was nothing to it, and there's nothing to it in today's healthcare system. A large part of that was a function of journalism and the way that it operates, this two-sided journalism without any effort to sort through the accuracy of one or both sides.
Well, I mean, this whole death panels thing was something that was concocted by ex-Governor Sarah Palin, and it was never really, reported that there were death panels. They reported that Sarah Palin said that there were death panels.
And that's, that's a lot of the reporting that we get. And instead of digging into the issue, they report the controversy. And, one of the trends that we've seen in journalism over the last 20 years is that increasingly it's about the Washington food fight. And you ask yourself, now, why is it about the Washington food fight? Well, in part, it's because of cable television. Most of the programs on cable, the political programs on cable, originate out of Washington, and that's where their guests come from. And, the controversies that develop on cable then slide over into the news. But this is also easy reporting. I mean, this is the easiest reporting in the area of politics, is to report on the fight, who's up, who's down, who's getting the better of whom. And that substitutes for kind of digging into those controversies and saying, basically, what's at issue here for the American public? What's going on with the budget fights? What are the choices that we face? We don't get a lot of that coverage.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Let's get Larry on the line. Larry, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, my question is kind of changed a little bit. I mean, why is credibility not required in news broadcasts anymore? You've got a right wing, you've got a left wing, you've got Fox, you've got MSNBC. But the only place that you can get a unbiased report, in my opinion, is on nonprofit like, TPR, Texas Public Radio, NPR, a public source. I guess my question to you is, where do you find an unbiased news report anymore?
Larry, thank you for your comments and for what you say about us. We appreciate that. So, Professor Patterson?
Well, the studies do show that, NPR has some of the best reporting available through broadcasting. But, I do think that traditional print journalists are still trying to fight the old fight of providing accurate reporting. And my argument is that they don't have all the tools they need to do that. If you go through a journalism school, you acquire two tools. One is the interview, the ability to interview sources. The other is to do a good observation. If something happens in your area, to go to the scene, observe what you can, talk to the people who were eyewitnesses to it, and use those pieces to assemble the story. But what I'm arguing is you need a third tool, and that's a knowledge of the areas that you're reporting on. That gives depth to the reporting. Let me give you an example of something that was very important to America. And this comes from a study that was done by Matt Storen, who by this time had stepped down. He was the editor of the Boston Globe. He came to our center the semester after 9/11, and he was curious. When he watched the coverage of 9/11, he thought it was really terrific in terms of how they covered the first responders and what was happening on the ground in New York. But when it came to the question of who might have done it, the journalists were absolutely stumped about that. And what he wanted to do was to go back and look and see how they had covered the major terrorist acts before 9/11. In 1993, the first World Trade Center bombing, he looked at that. He looked at the 1998 bombing of the two U.S. embassies in Africa. He looked at the bombing of the U.S. coal in Yemen Harbor in 2000. And what he found was that the reporting was very closely confined to the events themselves. How many were killed, how many were injured, where the damage was done, but almost nothing about
right. So journalism let down America. They dropped the ball. They didn't report on Al-Qaeda hardly at all. It was it seemed like there's a long list of things where journalism didn't get to the nitty gritty. The SNL crisis, being allowed to the Swift voting against John Kerry. Presently we're overblowing what the debt means to the economy. We're not seeing really good journalism about that. There's a lot of good examples.
Well, there are a lot of good examples, and I think we're, there are a lot of things that are at play in those good examples. But one is that if you don't understand an issue, if you don't understand transnational terrorism, for example, then it's hard to connect the dots for your readers and listeners.
But then you have someone like Lawrence Wright write the book about that, the looming tower.
Well, there certainly are a lot of good journalists out there, and the argument is less about kind of good journalists and bad journalists. It's about what I think is a structural problem with journalism, and this is this kind of information gap. It's not traditionally part of the training. I had a call today from, and I can't mention who it is, but an editor of a pretty large newspaper, daily newspaper in one of our major cities, and he said that, and he said he'd like to have it off the record. That's why I can't mention who he was. But he said he's had a lot of trouble getting good journalists, and he argued that the students coming out of journalism schools are trained, but they're not educated. They know how to do a story, but they don't know the content behind the story. And he said, my preference actually is to find someone who understands business, understands city government, local education issues. I can teach them to write stories in a month. What I can't do is give them the knowledge that they need to have to report accurately and fully on the developments in my community.
Make another caller on the air. Let's get Kitty on the line. Kitty, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I graduated from the School of Communications in 1974 at UT, and I was a sophomore when the Woodward Bernstein Watergate story broke. And they required three different sources before their editor would allow them to put it in the paper. And the fact that we have instant gratification now with instant media and everyone shooting video on their phone, something goes out on the air before it's even validated or verified what it is. And the fact that, we have this monster called the media that requires you to fill airspace. When I graduated in 74, came back to San Antonio, and it was still news at 10, and as it led, it leads, and I find that coming back to San Antonio 27 years after being gone, the same thing. And the fact that people don't speak English correctly indicates to me that our society, people don't even have a clue what an adverb is.
So Thomas Patterson, apparently Kitty's, very critical of what's the kind of journalism we're seeing today.
Well, Kitty's quite right about what journalism was like during the Watergate period. The Washington Post was about 50 stories deep into the reporting on Watergate before it had even a single factual error in one of its stories. And, you know, now with the competition, the rush to get out, you know, to get the story out, we saw that with 60 Minutes and, you know, Benghazi. You know, that was a rush story to be first to get it out there. You know, we're less and less kind of digging deep to make sure we have the facts right. But, you know, this is a point, too, where I think knowledge comes into play. If you understand an issue, you can see the soft spots. You can see where a source might be misleading you, so that the more you understand the area in which you're reporting, the less likely you are to make one of those kinds
of mistakes. So is the pressure, we're really out of time, but is the pressure on the reporting, the publishers, or the readers, the consumers, to figure all that out?
Well, I think if journalists are professionals, that's where the buck stops.
It seems like the readers, the consumers, are getting more and more savvy all the time, and they know when they're being played. Okay.
One wishes, although levels of misinformation are on the rise in the United States, so there's a lot of misinformation, so
they
don't always cut through.
Thomas Patterson, it was great talking with you. Enjoyed the book, Informing the News. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies.